I have been lacking a game on my phone that I can just lose myself in. No thoughts, zoning out, but also still challenged, like I can't stop playing. Well, along came June's journey. So June Parker has to search for hidden clues to uncover the mystery of her sister's murder. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game, but you also get this captivating detective story while also being set in the 1920s. Each chapter uncovers a collection of hidden objects that you use to solve the murder. So on top of solving the mystery, you also get this fun option to customize your very own luxurious estate island. You can have expansive gardens, beautiful buildings. You can really let your imagination run wild. I love the little script that plays out. I love June's journey, literally. I love the clothes. I love the sets that you're looking for objects in. I just have the best time laying in my bed, winding down, zoning out, building my island estate, solving the murder of June's sister. Can you crack the case? Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. Guys, we have a special visitor today. Noor, host of the podcast, The Reality Is, I've been wanting to ask you to join us for our Family Karma recordings, but due to my social anxiety, I've been avoiding it.
I literally have to talk her up a lot of times to ask people like to come on. I'm like, just add, like, what do you mean? Like, you know these people. What are you doing?
Yeah. Too scared. But then I was honored to be on her podcast just last week, so I took the opportunity. And so then there were three.
Yes.
Number three.
Oh my God. First of all, social anxiety about asking me for anything. Just don't, because I have so much social anxiety all the time.
All the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
All the time.
So we'll just bounce back and forth at each other. I'll be like, no, yes. You're great. And you'll be like, no, you're great. I've been wanting to talk to you. And you'll be like, I know I always want to talk to you. And
yes,
you know, that's how it goes.
As soon as we started recording, I was like, oh, okay, this is an energy I can totally handle. Yes. Thank God. Thank God. Yeah. Well, no, I was very easily intimidated.
Yeah. Also, because like I didn't start the conversation with like, you know, let's talk about why I think Jen Shah is innocent. Like I didn't say something crazy. Right. So
boy, that would have made for a wild episode. I loved
imagine. I'd be like, and about January 6th.
So many worst case scenarios. Or like if you find out someone like loves Lisa Rinna and you're like, oh no.
Oh God.
I mean,
I've been invited on a couple where people are like, I just kind of want to know your thoughts about like why you don't like her. And I'm like, I won't do that to you because that will not be fun for you. Like in no shape, fashion, way or form at all. Sorry.
Full disclosure. Okay. Because this is a safe space, kind of. For years, I used to say Lisa Rinna forever, baby. Rinna forever, yep. Baby. All the time. Same. Because first she was so much fun.
So much fun.
And then something happened. Yep. I believe around Lucy Apple Juice. And, yep. And I was like, well, I'm done.
Yep.
We're done here.
It's such a bummer. Yeah. She was so fun.
Yeah.
And then we all were like, I get you're leaving us no choice. We're trying to like you.
We threw her like not even a bone, like, you know, that box of milk bones that you buy for your dog and they snap. We threw her the whole damn box. She just wouldn't eat. I don't know what to say.
She wouldn't eat.
Sorry. Eat. Just wouldn't do it.
Before we do the recap, did you guys see Anisha on Watch What Happens Live? Did you see at least the clip?
Yes.
I saw some clips.
Oh,
I mean,
I also heard that Andy was mispronouncing everyone's name like he did Bali when she was on.
Oh my God.
Of course.
That man.
Of course.
He's not watching any of those shows. He doesn't know how to pronounce anybody's name. He still can't say Amrit. Like, he's still like, you know, that's like the one reason
why.
What
does he say? Amrit?
Yeah. He's always like, Amrit.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. You see him struggling so much when the names come up. He's like, Richa and
yes.
It's like, have you not watched the show? Like,
no,
he
hasn't, because he still says Vishal and Rish. And I'm like, no. Rishi is Monica's boyfriend.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I feel like if he doesn't do a reunion,
then he's like, what the fuck am I? And then if he does, like when he did the Watch What Happens Live, like special reunion, he just crams before and probably gets like Cliff's notes. You know, they probably are like, here you go, Andy. Here's like, we compiled kind of the most important clips you need to watch in order to do this part of your job.
Yeah.
It was so cringe when Bali was on there a few weeks ago and he kept saying Bally the whole time. Bally. Like, who are you talking? Who?
That's easiest me? Of all the names, by the way.
Like, good Lord. Yes. What are we doing?
Bali's the easiest one.
Yeah. I feel like it's bad enough where even if Monica was on, he'd be like, Monica?
Right. It's like, oh, I'm going to get this one wrong. Ooh, it's like, it's Monica. That's okay. It's so right. Like, he's so accidentally racist all the time.
There's literally a white woman on Friends named Monica. Like, you know how to say Monica. Stop it.
Yeah, we call that classic microaggression.
Totally. Okay, well, let's get into it, shall we?
Let's show.
Here at She Speaks Bravo, we believe that Bravo TV is a great form of self-care and therapy. Look at me. I've been using it for over a decade, and I am a complete mess. That's me, by the way. I'm Emily, and I'm your host on this journey.
What is this, honey?
I love that.
If you're not already subscribed, get subscribed and hit that notification bell because I'm releasing new episodes at least 3 times a week.
Cliff, you fool.
That's my opinion!
I talk Bravo, I talk true crime, and sometimes I talk a little scripted. So whatever you're here for, I hope you enjoy the show.
Analyze Fish. What?
Can I confront both of you before
confront?
We start? Yes.
A confrontation.
I have now suggested a TV show to both of you, and I don't think either one of you have watched yet.
Listen, I have a defense for that, okay?
Okay.
I was so behind on my own content that I didn't watch any show that could be, like, focused on.
Uh-huh.
You specifically gave me instructions with your request. I did. Which was, put all devices away and focus.
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize how difficult that is? Okay,
it
sir?
Is.
Are so you talking good, about Last of Us?
Yes.
Okay, phew. I was like, I hope it's not a show on Zeus. No.
Baddies West did just start yesterday, though, and it was miraculous, just imagine, so you know.
Imagine.
Yes, I have been. I actually told my husband yesterday, I was like, let's start watching Last of Us. And he was like, oh, I want to play the game first. And I was like, I don't have time for this.
Yeah, see.
So I think I'm going to start without him.
Okay, good. Because I feel like if you and Raheel talk about it, I'll on to talk to you.
All right, well, you say no more.
Okay. Okay, confrontation over.
Okay. Okay, analyze Vish. Great title.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic title. I love a good title moment.
Mm-hmm.
I got to say, Monica teaching Nicholas that dance was hands down the cutest thing Nicholas has ever done.
Adorable. Yes.
He was so invested, so bad, and so cute. Monica's like, I used to dance like, I used to use my feet like that too, but that's because I was classically trained in Garba. And he's like, yes, me too.
I loved it. I love that whole sequence. And honestly, Nicholas did fine because there's a lot of brown men I know that also dance like him. So
Omric is terrible.
Yes, exactly.
He's actually a really bad dancer. When they flashed back to the wedding, I was like, oh wow, I forgot. He was very bad.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
But Monica wants to act. I'm like, in what?
In Bollywood. So I have thoughts about this. I do think that Monica would do really well in Bollywood. And like, just so you know, the threshold to get into Bollywood is just that you need to be beautiful. Yeah, and you need to have, like, the right connections and everything like that. I mean, she was just in Harper's Bazaar, so I was, like, very excited for her.
Yeah.
You know, I think Monica has never been my favorite person on the show. She drives me crazy. She's got that goody-goody girl from church, mosque,
yes,
temple, synagogue, whatever energy. It's annoying. But I actually am really happy for her to try to figure out a new thing that she wants to do. I do think, though, that Monica navigates the world like it is a Bollywood movie. I think she expects the world to be a Bollywood movie. I think that's why she's still in this like relationship. That's why, like, over a couple last few weeks, she's talked about like, I did all the right things and I had the right job. And I thought that like things would work out for me. Right. And it's because Monica grew up in a non-traditional family in a very traditional community. Mm-hmm. She grew up as a child of divorced parents in a community mm-hmm. that is very much based around this, like, you know, your typical traditional families, a mom, a dad, and some kids. Mm-hmm. All your activities are based that way. And if you, for example, like, it seems like she's closer to her dad. So like, if there's parties, right, girls are having gatherings and they're inviting their moms. Well, Raj can't come to that, right? So Monica probably for a lot of her life felt left out of a lot of these very traditional gatherings, which is why she's like overcompensating with aunties. That's why she's teaching little kids how to dance Bhangra. Like, she's doing all these things to be as likable as possible and be the perfect little girl, mm-hmm. in the words of Miriam Cosby. Mm-hmm. And and I think that that's really sad, because it's like you're trying to work up to be accepted in a community that didn't accept you because of your parents, which is fucking weird to begin with, and like toxic to begin with. So rather than saying, I don't need that community, she's so caught up in this like rosy idea of what it means to be a good Indian girl that is truly from like romantic comedies in Bollywood movies. Like, it's even her, you know, accepting whatever this rumor is about Rishi, like, even that was just like, girl, these are red flags. Red flags are everywhere. And she's too deep in it now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're so deep in it now, and you sold yourself this fantasy. And I think that Rishi's kind of dull. Like, he's very handsome.
Oh my God, he's so dull.
But he's so dull. And so I feel like a lot of even her attraction to him is because they look good together. They picture well together. And mm-hmm. so it's just very like she has a very fairy tale idea of what it means to be a girl, a mm-hmm. woman. And I think that that's a lot of it is informed by the Bollywood movies that she watches. And so mm-hmm. while it's terrible for her personal choices, she'll do great in Bollywood because she's already playing the part.
Oh, good. Then I hope she's super successful.
There you go. There you go. Sorry.
Can I say two quick things about that?
Yeah. Of course.
Number one, I was going to make a really, really bad joke, because when you said when she, you know, has to go to the all girls events and Raj can't come, I was
like, oh my God, what were you going to say? I know. You know, I was thinking it.
He can maybe take her, but I'm not going to make that joke because I'm not going to do it. But the second thing was, do you equate it to like, I have a cousin that I feel like lives in like her own Disney fantasy with like every aspect of her life. And so she'll say things to me. I'm such a realist that it's almost like, it's kind of bad, because I need to be more optimistic about stuff. But she's such a like, oh, it'll work out. And oh, don't worry, I don't have this job, but it's okay, it'll all come to me. I'm like, no, have you seen the price of eggs? Like, you need to work. Like, you got to figure shit out. Like, I don't know what... It's so much. So like the Disney mentality, you just kind of triggered me in a little way, because like that Disney mentality is so like, it can be too much a lot of the time. So is that like the same with?
Yeah, we call it toxic positivity.
Mm.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same thing. It's just like living in delusion, and it's just being delusional, you know, and not being honest with yourself. Honestly, it's kind of how Reshma functions, Michelle's mother. Mm. So it's very similar. It's very toxic.
Do not get Emily started. She will.
Oh, I want to get Emily started. I came here to get Emily started, okay?
Okay, wait. You say, is it Reshma?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Reshma. Okay, I was saying Reshma. Reshma.
I think that both could be pronounced. I'm sure that when Reshma says, you know, her name to non-Desi, she probably, or non-South Asians, she probably says Reshma.
Okay. Mm. Good to know. Right.
Yeah,
good.
Either
phonetic.
Way.
Yeah.
Good to know. Okay, good to know.
Feeling stressed lately? The holidays are over. It's January. This is a tough month. Everyone's a little bit more bloated, a little bit more nervous. This is like a very tense month. We're all supposed to be doing things, being better people than we've ever been before. I have a couple insider pro tips for you, though. Add these two little products into your life and you can beat stress and bloat before it beats you. Pair the award-winning gut-nourishing Just Thrive probiotic with the stress-busting, mood-uplifting power of Just Calm. Just Thrive probiotic supports digestive, immune, and total body health and actually produces antioxidants right in the gut. Once it arrives in the gut, it acts like a personal gardener, safely eliminating bad bacteria and replenishing the good. And the best part, it can be opened and sprinkled into any food or drink, so it's good for the whole family. And for the next level stress-busting mood support, add in Just Calm. This product has been proven to do the almost unimaginable. I've been taking it for the last week and a half, and I can attest it quickly promotes a healthy response to everyday stress, encourages a steady, serene, and balanced mood, drives mental clarity, focus, and alertness, facts, and even supports great energy and optimal sleep. I'm not kidding. I have been able to focus and stay calm the last week and a half, no joke. This is true stress management built for our modern-day stress-filled world. Just Thrive products have more clinical research than just about anyone else in the industry. They're all natural, and they have a money-back guarantee. What do you have to lose? If you're ready to up your wellness game and beat bloat, digestive issues, stress, and more, you can get 15% off a bottle of Just Thrive probiotic and a bottle of Just Calm with promo code SHESPEAKS at justthrivehealth.com. While you're there, check out all their other research-based products for optimal gut and immune health. There's something for everyone, even a probiotic for your fur baby, all with a bottom-of-the-bottle guarantee. Take control of your health this year with Just Thrive.
Mm-hmm. But speaking of complicated, Amrit and Vish are working out, and for some reason, Vish... is real excited for the gay circuit party portion of the festivities. Guys, I mean, you know how I feel about this. It's like...
I think that Vishal doesn't know who he wants to be ever. And I think that Vishal is actually a person who's devoid of an actual personality. And so he is either the party guy or he likes wants to rub up with... Amrit's friends and figure out like he enjoys, because we know he was sick when he was a kid, right? So he was in the hospital,
right?
He was in a wheelchair and all that stuff. So I think that stuff can really fuck you up when you're growing up, right? And so then you as an adult overcompensate. It's like whatever your childhood insecurities were, you then overcompensate for. That's what Monica's doing. That's what Vishal is doing now. So Vishal now gets to be a cute guy with abs, and he like likes to take his shirt off and shake his ass. And that's how he gets attention. And that's why he drinks so much, because he wants to be the center of attention. And that's the only way he knows how to be likable around people, is because, you know, he didn't get to experience those things when he was like probably in high school. He was like a scrawny kid in a wheelchair. Like that can't be good. That's hard.
Yeah.
So I think now in his 30s, here he is overcompensating, doing the most. And he loves having a gay friend. He loves having it because that makes him more interesting. Amrit is interesting. Mm. Rija is interesting. Vishal is not interesting. And that's why Vishal hangs around them. And also, if we want to analyze what other things Vishal might be into, I can't do it as this unfortunately and resentfully straight person, but maybe somebody else can.
I've done it a million times.
But so we may or may not have said it all like 13 times on here already, but
well, I can, because I'm pretty fluid, say, so it's fine. Like, right? I listen. Yeah. It's just that they've done so many things throughout this entire season where just like keeps popping up. If he had proven to be secure enough in his manhood to handle Dylan saying what he said, then fine. Yeah. But we saw how that went down.
You're right. That was not the case.
Jesus Christ. Threatened to kick his ass. And like, what did he say? I'm going to bury you? I don't know. It was just very dark.
Yeah.
But Amrit talks about how it's just constant fighting with him and Nicholas. And he's threatened to cancel the wedding a million times. It's interesting, though, that for Vish is Team Nicholas.
Yes.
And that makes sense because like the dynamics would be that he's the Nicholas and he's the Nicholas in his relationship.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Correct. Yes.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. It's the alphas and the betas. Mm-hmm. And Richa is an alpha and Amrit is an alpha. And I was glad that Vishal was siding with Nicholas. I was also glad that Monica in her conversation with Nicholas was like, yeah, but like, what about you? Like, aren't you interested in having any of your stuff happen at the wedding and stuff? And even like, you know, and I thought it was, even though I don't like Amrit, I do think it was interesting what he was bringing up, right? Which is that so much of culturally or Indian weddings and a lot of these things are based on what the bride's family does and what the groom's family does and how it's so hard to incorporate those things into a gay marriage because they don't know how to have a marriage like this. I think that that's very interesting. But then when I was listening to that, I was like, okay, but like, you're still not bending at all for Nicholas. It seems to me like sometimes he's like punishing Nicholas for the fact that his parents don't support him, you know?
Very much
We said this on our podcast before, which is that, yes, Amrit is a gay man, but Amrit is still a brown man. He's still a South Asian man. He's still an Indian man. And he is very much still functioning the way Indian men function in a lot of relationships, which is like, my family is accepting you. Like, my family is doing you a favor by accepting you. So now you need to do things to, like, you know, support my family and make my family happy, which is traditionally in like South Asian culture, there's such it's the patriarchy is the best way to say it. It's such a patriarchal society that and it's such a patriarchal culture that culturally, you know, women it's just a traditional marriage. It's a traditional marriage where a woman does often feel like she needs to work up to impressing her in-laws all the time. Like even the way Amrit will talk about his own mom, right? Lavina, he's always like, oh, my mom is coming and she's going to have a lot to say and she's going to have a lot of opinions and stuff like that. Right.
Totally.
And it's funny because the interesting thing in this relationship is that Lavina does not treat Nicholas like a daughter-in-law. Lavina treats Nicholas the way sons-in-law are treated in our culture. Culturally, a son-in-law is treated like a king. Aww. If like my husband is my mother and father's favorite man, right? Despite the fact that I have two brothers. But boys are treated really, really well, right? Mm-hmm. So a son-in-law is treated like a prince. And so Lavina treats Nicholas like that. She's so nice to Nicholas. She's so kind. But Amrit, because he's been raised with this idea that whoever I marry, my mother will have a problem with because he still functions like a man who's marrying a woman, right? So he looks at Nicholas and says, oh my God, my mom is going to have so many opinions. And like, you have to worry about my mom and my mom. But like, it's an interesting dynamic, which Aarti and I were talking about on our podcast. And we said, actually, what it sounds like is that more brown men should marry men because that would resolve the bitter mother-in-law, daughter-in-law fighting, right? Mm-hmm. But Amrit still functions a little bit in these conversations with Nicholas in a way where it's almost like, bro, you're not marrying a woman. This isn't a woman that you culturally can ask to do whatever with. Or ask her to, you know, oblige to your family or to try to make your family happy. You can't do that with Nicholas. Like he needs to have a voice. And honestly, I believe that with even if he was going to marry a woman, obviously, I would say that that's fucked up and that's a fucked up way to treat your partner. But I feel like that's a lot of how Amrit is functioning in his marriage. And I was like really happy at the end of last episode to see Nicholas say no. Like, this is fucked up. You can't do this to me. And I think that you are, what did he say? He's like, there's like some sort of self-loathing that you have. And you feel like your parents are doing you a favor by allowing you to be gay. So then you need to make sure that you're doing all these traditional things to make your parents happy. But what about me and what I want? And you're just able to say, well, we don't have to do anything of your culture or your tradition because your parents don't like you anyway. Which is like a really fucked up thing to do to your partner because even if Nicholas's parents aren't okay with it, they're still a part of Nicholas's life. They're still, his culture is still a part of him. Mm-hmm. So now to just kind of wipe it away and say, we're just going to do things the Indian way. I was like, give this man space to exist, man. Like, it was, I don't know.
It was
like
sweet. It was sweet when he said, I know. It was sweet when Nicholas was like, I want to say I do.
Yes.
It's like, oh, let him say I do.
Yes.
Right. If me and Emily talked about this last week, but I struggled a lot with that last conversation for a lot of, because I genuinely, like, points were being made like all around, but it was also very hard to watch for a lot of reasons. And the flip side of like what you said too, it also feels like Nicholas is very aware that, like, I feel like he always knows that he's filming a reality show. Mm-hmm. And so especially during this time, he's always trying to be super careful about the way he's speaking about his parents. Mm-hmm. Cause like, he knows, yes, he has to address the elephant in the room, yes, but he's also like, anything that I say could possibly be the end of this relationship, and that's not what I want. And so those two in particular, they're like not two sides of the same coin, but they're very much, they're hard to deal with in general, because I don't know, neither one of these solutions like seem like the right way. And I almost wish like they were the ones in couples therapy and said, well, no, Vish, yeah, and Richard need to be there, years. But yeah, but I wish we had another couple therapists.
Yeah, as not well one, as.
Right. Not one of those Real Housewives of Atlanta therapists, not them. Like, no, somebody else never is actually qualified, but I wish we had someone else to like interject and say, there's got to be middle ground here, because neither one of the, it seems like y'all two are fighting entirely different battles right now in a way.
I also think another aspect that they haven't really talked about is the fact that, like, I guess Monica did bring it up, which is like the whole wedding is a Hindu ceremony. And like, Nicholas grew up Christian, and yes, he talks about like his issues with the church and stuff, mm-hmm, but like, he finally says like, yeah, I want to say I do. And like, I want to say vows and stuff like that, which is really nice. But like, a lot of the wedding is like a Hindu wedding. And I also wonder, like, maybe Nicholas's parents have issues with the fact that he's getting married in a traditional Hindu wedding, mm-hmm, and yeah, they're Christians and evangelicals who probably consider Hindus pagans. So like,
exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? I think there's
so many things that are challenging for them.
So many, yeah, things. Yeah. And I wish that, like, I don't know, I kind of wish that the show had more time to like go into these things, but we're just kind of getting like snippets of it, 'cause there's other drama going on. I do think, mm-hmm, it's interesting, but I don't know.
No, it's like you said, Kendrick, Nicholas being very careful, mm-hmm, about how, mm-hmm, he talks about his parents. He's like, I need to change this narrative real quick. They're not bad people. Mm-hmm. We're not playing that game. They didn't, right, like, throw me out on my ass and like make me move to like some, you know, like some camp where I had to be, nothing like that. But, you know, they, like, mm-hmm, when he said he talked to his mom every day, I was like, oh, very different.
That shocked me too. Yeah,
I had a whole different. So I'm glad he was able to open our eyes to that and give, mm-hmm, us a better perspective of it. Which then, knowing what we know now, it makes what Amrit's doing even worse. Because it's like, well, mm-hmm, you know, he's close with his parents, and you're, yes, acting like they're really bad people that he, mm-hmm, should just totally disregard.
Yes,
like, you know how close they are. You know more than we do, and you're still, mm-hmm, acting like this. So it's even more selfish, Amrit. Okay,
yeah. He sucks.
He really does suck. What's scary though is that Vish is like, I'm having baby fever. I'm like, no. Whoa, dude.
Again,
we have to really slow. You just stop drinking.
Get Richard to sign the papers first. Then we'll talk about anything else. Like, stop,
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Like, no. Please. I can't even absorb that right now. Like, we're just going to move on, right? Let's go to something happy and light. Anisha shows up at Chitra's. Let's go to this cute scene, okay?
Yes.
Because we're going to absorb more of that later. Talks about her Cinco de Mayo deadline.
Yes, love that.
Love it. Mm-hmm. I fucking loved the flashback photo of Anisha with her like holding the Taj Mahal. I love any flashback photo of Anisha.
That's a classic photo that you take when you go to the Taj Mahal. I have one too.
Good. Well done. Yes. But every time you see what Anisha looked like, Brian comes over. I love Brian and Anisha scenes. I really do appreciate them.
Yeah.
They're truly best friends. I love their friendship.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Chitra, my queen. She knows, she gives them their soup, and she's like, okay, bye. I'm going to go upstairs now.
I love it so much.
Her. And then Brian, mm-hmm. Brian talks about his new place. I had an epiphany, you guys. Ooh. I need a dumb boyfriend. I love how stupid he is. He's like, it's perfect. I'm going to like go out on my, I have a balcony so I can go out there and like have a book. And he's like, pretend to read. Yeah, pretend to read. I'm like, yeah, I need that kind of, I just need an idiot. I need someone who's not going to be too much of this talky, talky, talky.
You know, that's what I've always wanted. That like, oh. That's my dream. Like, I don't know. I don't want to talk to you about Shakespeare. No.
Yes. Just see, perfect. I need simple.
Nail that up for me. That's simple, what I need. Yeah.
Simple, simple.
Just, you know.
I like Brian listening to Anisha talk about how like she gave him an engagement deadline. He's like, whoa, red flag. But Anisha's like, no, he was okay.
Right.
Yeah. I'm also like, Brian, you're not one to talk about red flags. You literally have condom wrappers in your childhood bedroom. Like, let's not. Let's not, sir.
I really like were those planted for the cameras?
Okay. I love the Bennies. I really do love them, but Brian's room is a disaster. Okay, Arthi said on our podcast that if you ran a blue light, like those lights? What do we call those? The hotel lights?
The blue light. Yeah. I think you're
right. It's a blue light. She said it would light up like it's Diwali. Okay, it would be the festival of lights inside of Brian's room. Okay, it's not good.
I believe it. Good.
And then when Dharma said that she would like if guests come over. She would have them stay in Brian's room. I was like,
no.
No, you need to fumigate. Okay.
Yeah. You need a complete remodel.
Oh my God. Sell your house and move.
Sell your house, move, and then
that's why his dad wasn't pissed off when he was asking him, like, I'll just bring the couch and bring it over here. He's like, good. I do not want anyone sitting on that goddamn couch.
No one needs to be on that couch.
No one needs to sit on that couch. Thank you.
Yeah, take it, please. Vish and Rich's townhouse. Lopa comes over. They have no furniture. I feel like sometimes I wonder if the reason they don't have furniture is like for filming purposes. Because this happened on Vanderpump Rules where Tom and Ariana moved into a house and it became like a joke that they couldn't have furniture. But it turns out that production was like, we can't have you guys get furniture because if we have to like shoot something out of sequence – it'll be bad for continuity. And so they kept like bringing it up all season. Like, oh, I'm not going over there. There's no furniture. And it was kind of like, they would kind of like smile about it. And then finding out later, like, oh, it's because, and I feel like that may be the reason for this. Maybe not though. They break the fourth wall a lot on this show. So
yeah,
I love that. I love that the camera guy had to catch the fire, like literally
it was the lantern,
about to light on fire. He's like, oh, got it, don't worry.
yeah the only reason I think that they actually don't have furniture because they just didn't get it is because they also didn't have running water. So yes. I feel like it's just because Vishal is
Vishal.
It's just a Vishal. Valid. Yeah, exactly. Valid.
Mm-hmm. Lopa just, she can't, like, she just really hates Vishal. Like, he points at a bathroom, it's like a half bath, and she's like, it's a full bath. Grow up!
I know, I loved it so much. I loved it. She said, grow up. That correction, like, you fucking idiot.
Hates him.
She's you like, don't even know what makes a full bath. By the way, he works in real estate, okay? So his mother runs a real estate agency, okay?
I forgot.
Oh boy. Oh boy. That makes this all the more concerning. Oh dear.
He works in real estate.
He works in real estate.
Oh dear.
Oh my God. Then Vish talks about like babies, grandbabies, and Lopa goes, holy crap.
I love Lopa, okay?
Thank you.
Love her.
You're in a good place for that.
Yes.
I want a TV show where it's just, honestly, I want like a panel show on like a people's couch, except it's just Lopa, Dharma, and Chitra watching various, they could just watch Vanderpump Rules.
Oh my God.
From the beginning. And I would just sit there and I would watch them. I love Lopa.
This is an amazing pitch. This is an amazing show pitch. What the right? fuck? Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I'm going to clip this and submit it to Bravo.
Yes. the way Lopa acts, like, if had I not known where she lives, every now and then she does something. I'm like, you would think Lopa is from Memphis, but like to know that she actually lives here, I'm
she
like,
actually is from there.
Right. I'm like, okay, it's all making sense now. It all makes that's why I love Lopa so much.
Can you give me some Lopa moments that are Memphis-y?
I can't. So in this episode alone, when she comes in, because the way she kind of throws shade, I kind of love it. And so her refusal, she went to the dog first while he was trying to like actively give her a hug, and that was her way of saying like, you know what it is, don't let these cameras fool you, you know I don't fuck with you like that.
She did not even hug, nothing.
She did the Memphis church thing where it's kind of like when you see that person at church coming towards you, you give them a shoulder and they just hug the shoulder like, oh, and they throw their shoulder. Oh hi. And there was something in the kitchen that she did something in the kitchen. I was like, God, that's kind of like my auntie. That reminds me a little bit. Like every now and then she does something, I'm like, oh yeah, that's Lopa from up the street in Memphis. Okay.
Well, I'm gonna go through it so maybe it'll jog your memory.
Okay.
Because Vish talks about the long lost sister. Remember? Because yes. Kendrick and I had completely forgotten about it, but when I did I did a rewatch before we started recapping to start jog my memory, and I had completely forgotten about the daughter that cut the family off when she started being with the guy. It was the guy. Mm-hmm. The guy totally pulled her away from the family, mm-hmm. but now that she's not with him anymore and she's had a baby, mm-hmm. I couldn't quite tell what was happening. Did she reach out to Vish first? And Vish was the one who encouraged it, because I heard he clearly is the one who pushed everyone to start talking again. Mm-hmm. And Lopa's not having it because he keeps saying like, you know, I know maybe it's not my place to get involved. And she goes, exactly. Like she was like, you need to shut the fuck up. Probably because cameras are there. I'm sure she wanted to say more like, you need to stay the fuck out of it.
Yes. Yeah.
And she was so passionately upset about it. She's like, 35 years you walked out on me. It was a passionate monologue.
It was.
I've been very tough in my life because you cannot run on me. I'm like, girl.
Well, let me ask y'all. So do y'all think that's why she really doesn't like Vish? Because she's like, okay, one daughter married someone who was clearly not the best. And now look what the hell you're trying to marry right now. Like, ugh. Do you think that plays into her like relate her at least her psyche around like why she doesn't want Richard? Well, she says she does, but we all know.
Totally.
We know Lopa. Lopa.
Yeah. We know Lopa. We all know. We all are Lopa.
Yes,
okay.
We all are Lopa.
I am Lopa.
We are Lopa.
That's the name of the episode. We are Lopa.
Yes. Somebody put that on a t-shirt.
I know, right? That's my first item of merch. We are Lopa.
yeah, I think so. I think like she's just like very protective of her daughters. Mm-hmm. She herself says that she had, you know, not a great marriage. And then she, so I feel like she's just like very protective of the fact that like she's raising these girls and the kind of men that they might end up with and all that kind of stuff. So I feel like it's all there. And also just like Vishal sucks. So like,
yeah.
just plain and simple. He sucks. Okay.
He sucks, dude.
Mm-hmm. And I remember what the other Memphis thing was now,
what,
but you're going to get to it. When he was like, so by the way, we're going to start therapy. And she's like, oh, for your drinking. And then she kind of makes like two more follow up jokes about it.
Yeah, she goes, alcohol. You're both alcoholics.
Yeah.
They're like, no, for our relationship. She's like,
no. For reference. K. Michelle, Quad from Married to Medicine, like all Memphis people, like when Memphis people are on reality TV, they try to throw shade in a way where like when you get in the car later on, you're like, wait a minute, what that bitch saying about me? Like, wait.
It's perfect.
Yes.
I love that Lopa tried to go to therapy because her other daughter encouraged her after the divorce. And the therapist was like, you can't do therapy on you. So get out.
I love that she broke therapy. She went to therapy and therapy said, mm-mm.
Yeah, the therapist like kept trying and she kept being Lopa and they were like, all right, so
no,
don't come back.
Well, full refund. Here you go.
Full refund,
go ahead.
You know what? I'm going to pay you for spending any time with
for
me.
Wasting your time. Sorry. Yes. Here
yeah,
we go.
Yeah, exactly.
She leaves. She's like, yeah, I tried. They said I don't need therapy. First time it ever happened. Amrit and Nicholas, they go to the sperm doctor. The receptionist goes, do you have an appointment? I'm like, they have cameras?
Right.
So there's a crew here.
I love when they do that. I love when they do that.
So yeah, they do.
My favorite is on the Housewives shows. Like clearly the people that work in like the counter at the front, they know who they are. So like they're walking up to the desk and they already like start getting the menus and they're like, come with me. It's like, okay, let me at least pretend I'm a normal person here. Thank you.
Yeah. I didn't realize they wanted a baby so quickly. And I'm like, ooh, that's not when you're trying to do it this way, it's going to be a lot harder than that.
Yeah.
As soon as they said, though, we drink in moderation, I'm like, they're going to do a compilation. Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Like,
as soon as
it came out of their mouth, I'm like, and compilation of the bachelor party. And I was right. There.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, exactly.
I didn't realize it's $150,000 to $175,000 for this type of crap.
Yeah. I mean, so I remember when I first had, I have an almost 9-year-old, and I remember I had him I lived in New York City. And in New York City, by the way, Kendrick, my son was born at the same hospital as Blue Ivy. Okay.
Oh.
Okay. Lenox Hill.
Whoa.
Okay. So this is related to
me. I remember that day vividly. How crazy.
Oh my God, me too. Me too, because I worked in a building right by there and there was like the whole streets were like completely packed. It was a big deal.
Oh, anyway. Yeah.
Anyway, so at Lenox Hill in New York City, you can't get private rooms. Like private rooms are not granted. Like you have to pay for them and mm-hmm. you have to pay out of pocket. It's not covered by insurance, whatever. So I remember like talking to my boss at the time and telling her like, my God, I have to pay like, and it's a lot. It's like $1,000 a night to get a private room after you give birth. Otherwise, you have to share a room with somebody else and share a bathroom, which is like not what you want to be doing after you give birth, right? Now, in context to Beyonce, there was a whole floor of really nice private rooms. Beyonce took that entire floor. So she didn't just have one room. Mm-hmm. She had all the rooms. Anyway, I'm not Beyonce. Yep. So I remember complaining to my boss about it. And my boss, she's a gay woman. And she was like, yeah, this is like a drop in an ocean of like the costs that like, you know, gay families have to go through mm-hmm. to have babies. She had a baby. Her wife had two kids. So she was like, our process is so much more expensive that like, honestly, you talking to me about spending $1,000, like she's like, by that point, she's like, by that point, we're like, charge it, whatever. It's fine. Like just because it is wow. very expensive for gay families to have kids. Like,
Jesus.
Either route too, like yes. trying to like, you know, go that route or going a route of adoption, because adoption is like stupid expensive too. It's like, mm-hmm. You understand the problem. You're like, okay, I get like, you know, you got to go through all of this, make sure I'm a decent person before you give me literally a human life. Like I get it, but holy crap, it's expensive.
Yeah.
Like my company that I work for was literally like, I think they said something like, we have a new benefit where we're going to put, I think they said $50,000 towards your adoption. I was like, towards? Like, what do you mean towards? Like, I don't need it, but, you know, I'm not, you know, damn kids. But
can they go to something else? That's not
right.
Fair. Yeah. How about a car?
How about a house?
Right.
Yeah, I'd like to adopt a house.
Okay, yeah. I would get a house and a car for the $50,000 and just call it a day. But what do they call them? Mini living spaces or whatever? I'll take one. It's all I
need. Tiny house.
Yeah, that's all I need. I don't need much. Okay. This is Memphis. What do I need a mansion for?
If you made a goal this year, which I did too, then Factor is perfect for us, for all of us. My biggest obstacle for accomplishing this goal is time and energy. And that's where Factor is perfect, because the meals are ready, they are prepared, and they're delivered straight to my door. So I can skip the grocery store. We can skip the shopping. We can skip the cleaning. Factor sends fresh, never frozen meals right to our door, and they're ready in just 2 minutes. So all you have to do is heat
and enjoy. I discovered Factor a year ago when I was keto, so they have a lot of great varieties for different lifestyles. So keto, obviously, calorie smart, vegan and veggie, and protein plus. These are available every week. They're prepared by chefs and approved by dietitians. And each meal is packed with the ingredients you need to feel satisfied all day long. And I can attest to that. I really do like Factor. I'm not just saying that. Every week, there are 34 chef-prepared, dietitian-approved meals to pick from. Plus, they have 36-plus quick bites, smoothies, juices, and other little satisfying add-ons to pick from as well. So there's tons of options. Factor is so much better than takeout because A, it's more cost-effective, and B, it's ready in 2 minutes. That is way faster than any takeout. It's so easy to stay on your vegan and veggie diet because each meal is prepared by chefs, approved by dietitians, so you know every meal is packed with the ingredients that you want and nothing that you don't. You also have the option of adding a protein to any of the veggie vegan meals if that's what you're looking to do. The best part for me about Factor is that it's eating clean without any hassle. I am such a lazy, eating clean, goal-oriented person. I want to eat clean. I want to be one of those women, but I just don't have it in me to do any of the work. So you just choose your options and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered right to your door. And they're ready in 2 minutes. Achieve and maintain your goals this year with Factor. Get America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit and start saving time, eating well, and living your best year ever. Head to factor75.com/shespeaks60. Use code shespeaks60 to save 60% on your first box. That's code shespeaks60 at factor75.com/shespeaks60 to get 60% off your first box. My tragic hair care journey continues. It's getting better, but I still am dealing with the double bleach fiasco and a bit of the hair loss. It is improving, but I'm still holding on to every single strand for dear life. So Kitsch to the rescue, because Kitsch is all about hair care, just like skincare. You treat your skin, you prevent wrinkles, you baby it. You got to do the same thing for your hair. They believe in budget-friendly beauty because everyone deserves some luxury, you know? The way the company started too, it started in 2010. They were selling hair ties door to door, just nothing but hustle and a dream, honey. And now they are sold in over 20,000 retail locations. They're female founded and self-funded. So they're pretty badass. My gateway drug into Kitsch were the satin pillowcases, because that's where I learned that pillowcases can really damage your hair and also give you wrinkles. So satin pillowcases, their caps and their hair ties as well. But the vegan satin, not the silk, because silk is made from silkworms. Ew, gross. They have the shampoo and conditioner bars, so bottle-free beauty, good for the environment. But the biggest thing are the heatless satin curling rollers. Say goodbye to heat damage. There are literally TikToks of people throwing out their $600 curling irons for these things. And the best part is it's only a fraction of the price, $18. And of course, they have the quick dry hair towels, the classic scrunchies. That's the only hair ties I ever use, and so much more. Right now, Kitsch is offering 30% off your entire order when you go to mykitsch.com/shespeaks. That's right, 30% off anything and everything when you go to mykitsch, spelled mykitsch.com/shespeaks. One more time, mykitsch.com/shespeaks for 30% off your entire order. What do you think the number one reason is for abandoning shopping carts online? Shipping costs and shipping times. We expect everything to be fast, everything to be free, but obviously if you are a smaller e-commerce business, that is hard to compete with, but you can keep yourself competitive with ShipStation. ShipStation lowers shipping costs, makes returns easy, and it keeps your customers happy. And with all the time you save from automating all these shipping tasks, you can just focus on things that keeps your business growing, like marketing, things like that. I wish I had known about ShipStation because I actually tried to launch an e-commerce business in 2020.
That was not successful, but I wish I had known about it because ShipStation has all of these things that make it much more user-friendly for a newbie, like effortlessly integrating everywhere you sell online. So Amazon, Etsy, eBay, Shopify, and you can manage every order from one dashboard. And you can automate routine shipping tasks. You can print shipping labels. You can compare rates and delivery times so that every shipment is optimized. You can also automate delivery notifications. And with enterprise solutions that make warehouse optimization easy, ShipStation actually scales when you do, which really intimidated me when I was first starting out because when I was thinking about getting a ton of orders, I didn't know what I was going to do then. And I know that's actually something you shouldn't be afraid of. It's something you should be excited about. ShipStation also gets the best discounts in the industry. Get up to 84% off USPS and UPS rates. Also, if that's not enough, use my promo code to try ShipStation for free for 60 days. 2 whole months. And I will say that 98% of companies that stick with ShipStation for a year become customers for life. So keep growing your business all year long with ShipStation. Use promo code SheSpeaks today at ShipStation.com to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, promo code SheSpeaks. Some of you may know this about me already, but some of you may not. When I'm not doing She Speaks Bravo, I am a mobile notary. Sexy, right? The hardest thing about this is the cost of gas because I can drive up to like 100 miles round trip sometimes. And the cost of gas, the price of gas, it's painful. So I'm really grateful that I've found Upside. Upside is an app for anyone who gets gas, groceries, or dines out, you know, so basically everyone. I personally use Upside every time I get gas. It's super user friendly. Once you get the app, you open the app, it locates the closest deals near you. You find and select the deal, and I actually get cash back every time I fill my tank. It's helping me run my other business. It's offsetting the price of inflation. And at this point, every little bit helps. So let me walk you through how to do this. You'll download the app, but you have to use my code SheSpeaks because with that code, you will get an extra 25 cents back for each gallon on your first tank of gas. That's a lot. Next, you claim the offer on whatever you're buying on Upside. So look, you open up the app based on your location. It finds the offers nearby. It doesn't even have to be gas. It could be groceries. It could be dining out. Then you claim it. You go claim offer. You just hit the claim offer and you go and you pay as usual with your credit or debit card. Follow the steps in the app. Very user-friendly, walks you right through it. And then you get paid. You get an email that says, hey, here's your money from shopping or dining out or getting gas like you normally would. In comparison to credit card rewards or loyalty programs, you can get 3 times more cash back with Upside. Also, Upside does not sell your personal information to third parties. They know that your information is a vital part of their trusted relationship with you. Download the free Upside app and use promo code SheSpeaks, guys, to get an extra 25 cents for every gallon on your first tank of gas. That's 25 extra cents back for every gallon on your first tank of gas using promo code SheSpeaks. Dude, Brian doesn't even know how to buy detergent. This family needs to, like, they need to send him away for a week and not pick up a phone call just so that he can learn. Yes. Otherwise, this is scary.
I know.
Like, eventually, yeah, he does need to learn something. Because mm-hmm. eventually, he's going to be 40. Yeah. And eventually, 50.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it has to end at some point.
Okay. We're talking about Vanderpump Rules a lot. And I just want to say that I'm not sure that Tom Schwartz still knows how to do any of those things. And I feel like if we think about the apartment that like the Toms and Jacks had, do we think anybody in that house, in that apartment, knew how to buy laundry or clean?
Tom Sandoval.
Only Tom Sandoval. That's it. Those two, those Jax, other two still
Jax
don't
could,
know.
No, Jax could, because Jax did live alone right after he broke up with Stassi, because I'm recapping season three. So he is currently living alone. So he did too. So Schwartz, I do not believe knows how to do any of that, but I will give Jax and Tom Sandoval.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
I also think Brian has the benefit of Dharma. So he's like, yes, she's going to come and do all of this on a weekly basis.
Yeah. So. So I'm like, for how long? Like, if 35 is really pushing it, it's like, Brian, you have to go buy detergent. And he's like, okay, I went in the store again, couldn't figure it out, and left and went to my mom's and stole it. Like, I have a cousin
that does this weekly, by the way. And it's because I've talked to you about it before. She's the one that built the house recently. But she still goes to her mom's house. When she leaves, she has a car foot, because her mom goes to like Costco, Sam's Club, yeah, like all of that. So she's like, oh, do you need this 24 pack of toilet tissue? It's like, there's never not going to be a time where I'm not going to wipe my ass. Like, yes, I need that. Like, I didn't just buy this to have. I'm like, yeah, I need that. And she's like, oh, I'll take this one. You just, you know, next time you go, just get some more. It's like, are you kidding me? It's a Brian doing this. I feel like there are so many kids nowadays that just use their parents' house as like a grocery store, a Walmart, a Family Dollar, wherever their place of shopping is. And it's just.
How old is your cousin?
My cousin is 30.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is the cutoff then? Is it like, is there no cutoff? Is 40 acceptable?
I'm not going to lie. I feel like in South Asian families, there is no cutoff.
There's no cutoff.
Mm. There's no cutoff. You can come and get stuff from your mom's house. And listen, Dharma will cuss you out the entire time. She'll be like, what the fuck, Brian? Get it together, blah, blah, blah. And her cute little Dharma screaming voice.
That I know, it's so cute. I love it.
I love her so much. And he'll just like laugh. He'll laugh and Mike will laugh. They'll all laugh. Oh my God, mama. Mm. Like mom, like,
You know, so it's a bit that'll never get
it's
old.
It's a bit that'll never go away. And she'll just, she'll just scream about the toilet paper until she's in her grave. And like, that's just what's going to happen. Because I feel like there is no cutoff in South Asian families. Like, that's the thing. Like, even Chitra, like, the way, like, she's like, yes, Anisha, it's like, the home is for Anisha. She wants to come back at any time, whatever. But Anisha has to put up with a lot of her mom's shit. Like, even last week when she was, like, doing the fashion show, her mom, they just have a way of complimenting in a way that is so funny, where her mom is like, yeah, like, I'm so glad that, you know, I wasn't even sure if 10 people were going to show up, but look at how many people came. And Anisha's like, mom, there were like 500 people there. But that is their way of like, this is like this is how I'm going to compliment you, because you are still stealing my toilet paper. This is the right that I have now. You know what I mean?
I'm going to nag you a little bit.
Exactly.
That's how you pay for it.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cause like Dharma's acting like she's so happy Brian's leaving. And Mike's like, oh, I'm so sad. Meanwhile, he's like, don't worry, I will literally be by all the time.
Right.
Dude, when he was making, he's like, here's my bed. And he took one of those, like, the mattress cover, not even the top sheet, but like the mattress cover sheet thing. He's like, see, here it is. And then he like lays on it. Mike's like, this is dark.
It reminded me of the fact that, so I've got two boys, they're 3 years apart, and my older one once told me, he was like, when I turn 18, I'm gonna go to college in New York and I'm gonna live in Brooklyn. And I said, okay. And then he was like, and then when I turn 21 and Noah's 18, he's gonna come and live with me too. And guess what, mama? It's like, what? He goes, we're never going to sleep and we're never going to eat dinner. And I was like, okay. And that, I feel like, is what Brian is doing. Brian's like, I'm going to put a big fat TV in here, one couch, and I'm going to sleep on the floor. And
Brian is, he's acting like such a teenager right now. He's like, I'm never going to clean. I'm never going to sleep. And no one's going to tell me what to do. It's like, Brian, no chick is going to want to come over there.
I mean, the man is in the middle of America hanging out with Ashley Darby and Luke Goldbranson right now. So that tells us a lot.
What is going on, you guys?
It's such a weird combo.
Brian, now last year, Q4, Brian got fired. Okay. And I'm worried. Oh, that my boy Brian had another layoff.
Oh boy.
Oh no.
No.
Because, sir, why are you in Minnesota right now?
Why?
What the hell? Like, it's so out of place.
Luke's maple syrup is not so good. So we have to travel halfway across the country to go support it. I'm sorry.
I'm concerned.
We've got questions.
It just looks odd. Like, what? Okay, fine. Ashley, I'll give you Ashley.
Yes.
Because, like, sure, maybe you guys could start hooking up. I'm cool with that.
That'd be a beautiful couple. I'm okay with that.
Apparently, Ashley did say that things are complicated with Luke and they're still together. So,
okay, Vish and Rich's therapy. I actually was excited. Well, actually, this, hold on, before I get to that, when Vish goes, the one thing I hope he doesn't bring up is, how's your sex life? So I was like, oh, what's that going to be about?
Yes.
Right.
But then it ended up not being that big a deal. Right. No cameras in there, like no actual cameras were good. It was just the surveillance. I don't like therapy typically on reality TV, because I'm like, this isn't therapy. Like, no therapy should ever be filmed, period.
Right, right.
It's like, it's therapy and that's private.
Mm-hmm.
But this, because maybe the cameras weren't in there, felt a little bit more authentic than any therapy we've ever seen.
Yes, 100%.
I was kind of jittery because I felt like something was about to happen just because it was this angle. I'm like, yeah. We've only seen like this guerrilla style footage on Housewives. Like when the cameras went down, like on Cynthia's bachelorette party, and we see like Drew and Portia like making out and stuff. So like,
you're like, is Bolo gonna show up at this therapy session?
Yeah, it was cool.
What is happening?
But I like Vish being so like unaware of what therapy. He's like, yeah, I think, you know, this could really enhance our relationship. And the therapist's like, yeah, couples therapy can do that, but it can also just be a domino effect as well. And he's like, oh shit. And she's like, yeah. Dude. And then he starts grabbing for Rich's hand. He's like, I'm all scared. And she goes, okay, so your love language is affection. And Rich is like, yeah, mine's not. I'm like, ew, get away from me.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad she goes, so what brought you guys together? I'm like, I'm curious too. What the fuck got you guys together? And she's like, when she was dating someone else at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting little factoid. And she was all over him and she knew immediately. I'm like, isn't that interesting?
I feel like Richa loves being an alpha and Vishal allows her to be that. And I think that she loves this like little puppy dog that follows her around. This woman got a house without doing a single thing to have this house. She doesn't have the financial liability.
No down payment.
Her name, no down payment, nothing. She's not even married to this man, you guys. She got a house.
She got a house.
It's kind of brilliant. Whatever this is that Richa is doing, I 100% understand. I will say, I know that Anisha's comment on Watch What Happens Live was super shady, but I think that she said later on like Twitter or something, she was saying, what I'm saying is that these people don't believe in the institution of marriage. I don't think Richa believes in the institution of marriage. I don't think Richa ever intended on being married. I don't think she wants to be anybody's wife. I think she is perfectly happy, like Robin and Juan, living together and that's it. But Vishal wants, his mother is Reshma. Like, he wants to have a wife. He wants to feel like he's not. I'm sure his mom is probably like, Richa's like using you, or like, what is this? And you need to settle down and all those things. So I feel like Vishal is pushing Richa to be his wife, even though Richa herself doesn't actually think that any of this is necessary. She's like, what the fuck is the point? Who cares? You know,
she's very checked out and like doesn't fully get it. But I could tell she was into that ceremony, like all that kind of stuff. I could tell she liked.
Yeah, because it was fun.
The pomp and circumstance.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't think, and also because she didn't legally get married. So
it was a party.
So really, she just had a great party. And
she had a really fun party and she got to be center of attention and she had to have a great time. And that
the only
was
thing
it.
She didn't get to do was sleep with a guy because apparently her husband was too busy. So,
yeah. I mean, maybe she slept with someone else. I don't know.
Maybe. Good for her.
That's how rumors get started. I will say that Richa during the therapy to me felt like she was saying all the right things at therapy, but I was like, that's not how you actually feel.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah,
totally. That's why when they get to the how is your intimacy question, I'm like, oh, here it is. This is going to be like, there's going to be something weird here because this was the one thing Vish didn't want brought up. But she's like, I don't know, we're like once a week. I'm like, that's not weird.
Right.
And then she's like, he would like it all day, every day. And I'm like, also not weird. That's like typical.
Typical, yeah.
And the therapist was like, okay, well, that's not weird. And so I'm thinking maybe she lied.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, how about never? How about you haven't had sex in quite some time and that's why Vish didn't want this brought up?
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Because Vish
is probably lying to everyone around him, like, oh man, we're newlyweds, we're getting it in all the time. And it's like,
possibly.
No. We haven't had sex since before the wedding, not even on wedding night. So,
no.
Sorry.
No, exactly.
Because everything about her body language with him feels uncomfortable. She doesn't feel like she wants him touching her or any of that. And they just have, I said this last week, like they just feel, she doesn't feel like she feels safe around him or attracted to him, even.
Mm-hmm. And she feels annoyed.
Annoyed by him, all of it. And so I think that was a just blatant lie. Because why would he say the one thing he doesn't want brought up is their intimacy or their sex life? And then that's the answer. One of the most common, like once a week is like the average.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what are you talking about?
Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, like, I think so. That was a lie. Because he like tensed up and looked over at her and she was like, I don't know, like once a week. You're lying.
You're lying.
Then she brings up his drinking. And when the therapist out loud says, so you have a substance abuse problem.
Yes.
I was like, oh, she said it.
She did.
Mm-hmm. She said the words. And he was like, well, I'm like, you can say it. You have to actually say it because you said it once. And since then, we've never heard you say it again. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, yeah, say it. But you're not going to say it, are you?
Yeah, that was good to, it was sad. It was sad in that it's always sad to hear somebody, watch somebody have to hear that about themselves, but also important. You know, I think that totally. It is a sad situation. It's addiction is a disease. And at some point somebody has to be diagnosed with it. And it's always sad when that happens. But I did also like what the therapist said to Richa, because in regards to the drinking and then also with the marriage license, is she says something like, you can't just punish him. Like, we can't do this thing where we punish him for or punish or use these things as like a punishment, you know? So I think that it was like the first time they've actually been, somebody's calling both of them out on what they're doing to each other.
Yeah, great line. Don't use punishment as a technique to train people how to treat us.
Oh, God. Mm. Put great that on line. A tea towel.
Was this an actual good therapy session on Bravo?
I'm telling you.
I swear. Yes. I was like this, and because not having a camera in there to make it feel like a, because then the therapist didn't feel like she was like, I'm trying to get some camera time too.
Right.
It was never the back of her head. Face. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, this is a moment for me. It was true therapy.
Yeah. Because all the other therapists that we've ever seen on Bravo are using that as a moment to like sell their business. And the fact that this person didn't even show their face or their name or anything, that was really good. I was like, oh, you're a good therapist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think Amrit and Nicholas should go to her.
Mm-hmm.
I think she should be doing a lot of more. We need a lot more therapy sessions with this woman.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Let's just keep throwing a bunch of people in there. Like across other franchises. Let's go to other shows. Let's just keep throwing them in.
Bring the Atlanta Housewives down there because they don't stand a chance in the city of Atlanta. So
I love this therapist. Yeah.
I do too. I love her.
And she let their doggy in there. Like, you won.
Hello, guys. They're in Miami. Send Lisa Hochstein in there.
Oh, totally.
No, then okay, yeah. That's who needs it. Yeah.
Yeah.
She was great.
Ooh, that'll go over well in court too. It'd be like, I've been bearing myself. Okay, see, never mind. I'm doing too much.
You're building her case.
I'm building her case. Let me stop.
Your Honor. I love how much Raj is stressing out setting up on the beach. He's just a stress case. He is stressing out. Oh my God, I cannot get it together. Oh my God. And he's like, hi, Lopa. He's like trying to keep it together. I'm like, oh, you are just, he is just trying to make it look gorgeous. Oh my God. They have non-alcoholic champagne. Love I'm that. Like, they need to start having more of this type of shit around if they're all trying to be supportive.
Yes. Yeah.
Looking at you, Amrit, you fucking asshole. I'm still so mad at him for having him hold a glass of alcohol.
Mm-mm. He's the worst.
The worst.
He's like, oh, are you not drinking? Didn't you just tell him that you wouldn't pressure him to drink? Didn't you say that?
And he was the one he confessed to. I might have a problem. He said it to you.
Okay, guys, but remember, Amrit only has one bachelor party.
That's only the one bachelor party.
Think about how stressful it is for him, you guys.
It's like, I've always been there for you, and you couldn't be there for me. Okay, well, dude, I think I have a drinking problem. Okay, well.
Yeah, but what about my free wedding on Bravo? What about that?
Right. Like,
okay, well, you could have come. I wouldn't have pressured you to drink. Oh, okay. So the next time he shows up at your stupid house, you're going to hand him a glass of alcohol to hold.
Exactly.
The whole time. And like, I can't. So anyway, they have non-alcoholic champagne. And mm-hmm. this beautiful ceremony, it's going so well. And then the lanterns.
Yeah.
Classic. Yeah. So classic. Like, it was going so well. It was beautiful. Like, truly, it was so touching. Yes. And then literally fire hazards. Like, truly, things were about to be catching on fire.
And again, like, breaking the fourth wall was so good because of the cameraman. But also, yes. Amrit goes, now family karma is going to be in the headlines for setting a forest fire. I was like, you said the name of your show.
I know.
It's like the Leonardo DiCaprio. It's like, oh, he said it. He said it. There it is.
That's the show.
That's the show. He said it.
You guys know it's called that too.
I love it. I feel like we don't see this like level of fourth wall breaking, except like the first season of like All Night Girls Trip is like the only thing where they like break it. Like, but it's like even this is like, oh shit, like. This is because Girls Trip is kind of like a social experiment in a way, but this is like still real life. But they're like, oh shit, there's a whole nother, like, we know you guys are watching. We see you. Hello.
Yes.
You know what this reminds me of? Because I've been on a Florabama shore in the background journey.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
So I miss a lot of it because like it's on in the background and I don't really know what's happening, but I get the gist, but it's like, it's the same people that did Jersey Shore, obviously. They break the fourth wall all the time. And I think it does kind of bring you in a family type of way. Like, it does do something to you as you watch it. Like, you're like, even, like, the crew is in on it. Like, so it is kind of vital to this sort of atmosphere that they're trying to create with Family Karma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love it.
The food is delish. And why were they thanking Rishi for it? Why were they,
He owns the restaurant. Moksha is his restaurant.
What?
That's right. He's a restaurateur.
I just literally saw him walk out. I was just like, oh, because he picked up the catering on the way. Like, I didn't know.
That's what I heard. So wait, he owns. No wonder Monica's so like having a hard time letting go. He's a business owner.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, is it? Do you know, like, the size of the restaurant? Like, is it a?
Yeah, we need details.
I know. I mean, like, do you know anything about it?
All I know is that he's a restaurateur. But I know that they've been at Moksha a couple of times on the show, and I have since looked it up, and it does look good. It looks like a cute little, like, loungy Indian spot, but I think he has other spots that he's, like, an investor in.
Oh, that's shit. Right. Now okay, I get it. That's why
Rishi is a diamond girl, okay? He's a material girl.
I love when Bali said that. That was great. So all of them, they're all eating together and they're like, Anisha, how you been? She's like, well, I've been looking for my ring, which of course like stops the whole table because it's like Monica's like trigger.
Yeah.
Monica's gonna stroke out. She's like, oh my, what? Your way? What? What's happening? Yeah,
she's about to fly away with one of those lanterns.
What is Rishi doing though, participating in this this conversation? Like, of all the, like, you shut up. Sir, like, you need to not participate in, like, she's like, I want a 4-carat circle. He's like, yeah, I like circles. Circles are the way to go. I'm like, you know you're not supposed to talk right now, right?
Talk about lack of self-awareness. Good Lord.
He's like, I love diamonds.
Yeah, because he loves diamonds.
Okay? I wonder if Monica likes them. Monica, do you like diamonds?
Dollar store Drake loves diamonds.
Everyone like slowly looks at him like, what are you doing?
Yeah, like, shut the fuck up.
Everyone's like, no. Everyone's like giving him like the, wrap it up. Not, nope. Monica, she's right there. Monica can hear you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then we flash to him being like, I want to take you out on a special date. I'm like, this is going, I just have a sick feeling that it's not going to end well, but
I know.
I'm happy to be wrong.
Do you think it's going to be like a Schwartz ring on a string? Yes. Like what?
But that's why I want to go. I want to go into it feeling like that so that I can be happily surprised.
God, it's just, I'm so nervous for her.
Me too.
Nervous for her.
It's like I don't know how not to feel that way because he just doesn't look like he's in any way ready.
No, he seems like he likes her. I don't know, guys. It's bad. Even when he's like, "Listen, I love you. I care about you." I'm like, "No, you don't."
You say "listen" before it's like, okay, this is now a speech. This is not like this is not a declaration of love anymore.
He's now convincing. He's like, "Listen, per our last conversation,
yes. As per the discussion we had over back. Text, yeah, as per your instructions, Monica, that you told me to say this stuff on camera.
Yes,
okay. Yes.
He's the timeline like, is.
Yeah, he's like, I love you. Did I get that right? Right. I care about you. That's right. Right. That's correct. Is your dad going to kill me?
Line. Watch,
oh. Right. Line.
Wait, Raj also was like, I'm so stressed out. I just finalized the menu last night. I loved it.
I'm like, finalize the menu. He's like, oh my God. I was looking at it and I was like, no. We're not going to, not that. Got it. Yes, finalized it. It's like, I am so tired.
Stuck the landing, Raj.
No, they're like, are you tired? He's like, so tired. I'm so tired. Nicholas and Amrit get the worst results, though, on their sperm count. I'm like, something's wrong. They're taking a supplement because that's insane. They're young. They're young enough. Like something going on. But it was like there's usually like 50 million. You guys have 9. I'm like,
9.
Something's wrong. Wow. That was bleak.
Yes. When like we know that Tom Schwartz has potentially better sperm than them. I mean, even his was bad.
Oh.
That's really bad. I'm like, are you guys doing all the drugs? Like, what's happening?
Right.
Like, right. That that's a good point.
Yeah. Are you taking estrogen? Like, what's going on that you would have such low sperm count? Because they're like 34, 35.
Yeah. And then I was like, what supplements are you taking, guys? Like something, you're taking something you don't want to see on camera.
Yeah, exactly. Does it rhyme with cocaine? What is it?
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know what could interfere there, but...
I was going to say, did it rhyme? Because they're always in the gym. Does it rhyme with pleroids? I didn't know. So maybe.
Well, I was wondering because I'm like, you guys, that's a low count.
Yeah.
Because I was always under the impression that it was only, but here's the thing. I was always under the impression that men had just vital, vital baby making juice until they were like 100 years old, right? Like that's what we've been told is that a man can get a woman pregnant anytime and it's just the woman and her stupid biological clock that's ticking that's gonna make her worthless. And I'm like, look at you guys, you're fucking worthless too. And that's amazing for me to watch on TV. Sorry for you. I'm sorry. I know you want to have a baby, but good for me for smashing the patriarchy because fuck you and your stupid sperm and your you have a biological clock too.
Yeah, it does feel kind of nice. It does feel kind of nice because usually it's a woman getting terrible news and being like, I'm broken.
Yeah.
Like, we rarely see it like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love how immediately like he knew to like keep a smile on his face throughout this whole thing, because you can tell like Nicholas was just like crushed. He's like, there's nothing we can do to come back from this or anything. And I'm just like, it's okay, we'll get it up, we'll give him the supplements, we'll give him a list. And maybe he was panicking. Oh, he's like, oh shit, I need to go hide these fucking drugs in the next room. I don't know what I need to do, but I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, I don't know. But
also though, remember Nicholas was like putting supplements on a tray right before they got the call.
Yes, I feel like
I thought that was going to be relevant to this. I was like, are we going to pan back over to those? Like, are we? Yeah. Was that set up for a reason? Mm-hmm. What was on that tray? Can we refer back to those? Like, shoot back to those supplements so that we can see what is on those.
Right. Yes,
exactly.
People. Next week, Omrit is, of course, being messy with Anisha, as he likes to be. Mm-hmm. He's like, isn't it weird that she's got like this like timeline and she's like this ring? And I'm like, Omrit always comes for Anisha.
Always. Yeah.
Always.
But this is exactly why Brian and Ashley are in Minnesota right now, because they are one in the... I bet they're having so much fun gossiping together right now about BravoCon or something, because Brian could not wait to run over and tell Anisha. He's like, wait, hold on.
Don't say anything. He's like, don't say anything.
I loved it so much. I loved it. Totally. Brian immediately. Yeah, he loves all of them. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what's happening, because Ashley did the exact same thing. I was like,
oh my God, totally.
Yes.
You little pint-sized cuties, both of you.
Like, I love that Ashley like expects it every time. She knows it's going to get back and it's going to all blow back on her. Brian is genuinely shocked every time someone like tells someone else that they told him. Like when Omrit found out, he's like, oh shit, why did Vishal say, like, you knew he was going to say that. Why did you tell him?
That's the best part about Brian, is he is always shocked.
Always.
Brian can never remember like 30 seconds before a thing. Like he'll do a thing and he'll be like, he'll immediately forget. He's got like the memory of a goldfish. Oh, like he barely remembers anything. So yeah. I love that.
So the next time, because he'll get confronted by, I'm sure Armor's gonna get so mad at Brian for it too, because he's always already been in trouble once. He'll be like, did I guess I did. I did.
Which is why it's so funny that Amrit is like, you think you're smarter than everyone. And Brian's like, I have definitely never given the impression that I'm smarter than anyone.
He says that with so much pride, too. He's like, when have I ever given that impression? I can say with confidence that I have never done that. Okay.
Right.
Promise. Next week's also the big date, but I swear to God, if they cliffhang us, like at the very end, if they show him like, let me just grab for this thing here, and then they're like, next week I will riot.
Well, you know what I hope doesn't get happen ready. For her sake and for ours, if he gives her a fucking promise ring,
I swear to God,
I will.
Which is like, that is an engagement ring, you dick.
Yeah. Right, like stop it. Like, now you're just toying with her and us. And I don't like being toyed with, okay?
It's a promise to get engaged, to get married. It's like, no, dude. Like, we all need to be prepared for that, though. I want to be happily surprised. But even, I'm sorry, though. Like I said, even if they do get engaged, I'm still not happy, because I don't trust that guy.
No, I don't trust him.
Yeah.
Not at all.
I don't trust him. I don't trust his weirdo fucking parents, okay? I don't like that uncle and auntie. I didn't like them last season. I don't like them this season. Okay.
Oh, we've
I don't
ranted trust about that.
Any of them, her dad, his dad, and his toupee need to get the fuck off my
hair. Yeah,
family,
for okay? real. That hair is a crime.
Yes.
And that,
hot people, God, it's how it always shakes out. The hot people, you can't trust them. You can't trust them, man.
No. Well, this was so fun.
I know.
This is so fun. All right, let's start with you, Noor. Let's go to where can they find you?
You can find me everywhere. First of all, thank you for having me. This is a blast. You could find me everywhere at The Reality Is Pod. And everywhere means just Instagram and Twitter. And you could find my podcast everywhere podcasts are heard. I do 4 episodes a week. I do 2 episodes of non-Bravo related things and 2 episodes a week of Bravo stuff. And I'm covering everything except for Below Deck, because there's too many Below Decks. Okay.
There you go.
Kendrick, your turn.
Well, first of all, I loved having you here, Noor, and I love that Noor reaches out to me, and she already knows that I watch everything on TV, so she's just like, Thursday, you're going to come on, and we're going to talk about Glass yes. Onion, like, because I know you've yes. watched it. I'm like, I've only seen it twice, but yes, I'll come on and talk about it. So thank you for having me. Emily was on a recent episode too, so go listen to that. You can find me everywhere you have podcasts too: Apple, Spotify, Google, iHeart, all of the places. Reality and Comics too, or you can search my name, Kendrick Tucker. I drop 3 episodes a week. Find me on Instagram at Reality Comics 2. That's TOO. Come for the podcast, stay for the memes.
I like that you guys know how many episodes you drop a week. Yeah. I don't know how many I drop a week. It's so, I'm so like sporadic. I should get more organized.
That's been my one thing. I'm always like super set about the days. I'm like Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Maybe
Wednesday, Thursday.
You're working with two Virgos here. So yes. Like...
Oh, that does explain it. Mm-hmm. That actually does. Never mind. Got it. Noted. That answers it. All right, guys. Yes. Thanks so much for watching and listening. Bye. Love you. Mean it. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. If you did, would you mind leaving me a 5-star rating and review on whatever platform you are listening? If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget there's the super thanks option down at the bottom, the little button with the dollar sign and the heart. And also I'm on buymeacoffee.com/shespeaksbravo if you want to buy me a little coffee or 2 or 5. And my Patreon, that is where I'm covering all of the classic Bravo jams. If you want to follow me over there and subscribe, link is in the description. And follow me on Instagram and TikTok at She Speaks Bravo. And whoever the guest was for today, all their information is always in the episode description. So if you want to follow them and check them out, check there for the info. And any of the sponsor codes that I mentioned in this episode will also be in the description. I love you guys. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. And I'll see you next time. Bye.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.